talk to you about a subject, and I know I've been doing this a lot of late, on a message that's really countercultural to popular Christian thought today, right? If you see God as nothing more than a genie in a bottle that you get to order around that grants your every wish, or if you see God as simply Santa Claus in the sky that fulfills every request, you're going to have a hard time this morning seeing the God who's revealed in Scripture. Amen? But my goal today is to help us, because there's so many people today who are just unstable in their faith because when something bad happens, they don't know what to do. And I just want to help us this morning, because here's what I know. If we can learn to trust the character of God and the goodness of God and the sovereignty of God and the timing of God, how many would agree you would have a whole lot more peace? Fox News wouldn't make your blood pressure go up, because you'd recognize that a government official is not in charge, that God's in charge. Amen. Like you wouldn't be over here and over there and up here and up, and well, the whole world's going. Like you would see what God sees, and you have a different attitude, right? So the Bible reveals to us a God who doesn't always, and I know this isn't popular, but he doesn't always meet our expectations. Isn't that true? And how many would agree it would be wise for us to learn how to deal with the God of unmet expectations? And in order to do that this morning, I just want us to look at the book of John, look at John the Baptist rather, and just think about John for a moment. John was unjustly thrown into prison because he stood against the wickedness of King Herod. He's a righteous man. He's done nothing wrong. He's been baptized. He baptized Jesus and declared to the crowd that Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. So he publicly declares and believes that Jesus is the Messiah that was foretold by the prophets. And by the time we get to Matthew chapter 11, we're a long way from Jesus celebrating the baptism John celebrating the baptism of Jesus. John spent months in a prison cell waiting his execution. And it's sitting in the prison cell that his heart begins to be filled with some doubt. How many would agree that would cause some doubt, right? So here's what it says. In Matthew chapter number 11, verses 2 through 5, it says, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples, and he said to them, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' And Jesus answers them, 'Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them.'" So Jesus says to tell John, "Listen, John, I know it hasn't gone the way that you thought it would. I recognize that I haven't met your expectations. I know that life has seemed to be unfair, right? But I'm really who I profess that I am. I am the Messiah, right?" Because John sitting in the cell, he's become overwhelmed with doubt. And Jesus says, "I am who I said I am, and here's the proof. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised," and they say, "Go tell John this good news," right? But before Jesus sends the disciples back to see John, he stops them and he gives one statement that I want us to think about this morning. It's about a God who is aware of your situation. He's sovereign. He's sovereign in his will and his ways, but he doesn't always meet your expectations. He knows your situation, but he doesn't always meet your expectations, right? Jesus said, "Tell John, and blessed is the one who's not offended by me." How many agree that's an incredibly honest, challenging statement that Jesus makes to John in the middle of a season of suffering, right? Because listen, there's things that happen in our life that we'll never understand this side of heaven. Isn't that true? I want us to look at the life and ministry of John and what led to his imprisonment. If ever a man lived his life completely for God, how many would agree it would be John, right? By Jesus' own admission, Jesus says the world's never even seen a man quite like John. His devotion with God to God was absolute. He was all in. We talk about that at church all the time. He had emptied himself of everything except the call to speak for God. Right? He purposely withdrew to the desert to be alone with God. He knew no family. He lived without entertainment, without friends, without companionship. The thoughts of a wife and a home and children were sacrificed. John lived all in for God. His outward appearance caused people to think he was crazy. His words made people realize he was a prophet. He was a wilderness man. He had crazy hair, like he looked crazy. But people, when he spoke, were gripped with conviction. What he predicted would happen seemed to be impossible. What he demanded seemed even crazier, right? Because John declared, he said, "Hey guys, we need radical life change, and not tomorrow." He said, "Listen, you need to turn your life to Jesus right now, all in today, right now." Right? His message to the crowd was always, "Repent, for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Think about what it would have been like to be in the crowd that day when John is baptizing Jesus and he sees Jesus and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." John would later tell his disciples, "Listen, I'm nothing, but he's everything. Like Jesus is everything, I'm nothing." He says, "I'm not even worthy to undo his sandals." And as time went on, John's disciples started to bring reports to Jesus and about his ministry. And Jesus was constantly hanging out at parties and having feasts with sketchy people. All the while John's disciples were making all these sacrifices to withdraw from society and to fast and to pray. I can only imagine John's disciples saying to him, "Hey, Pastor John, wait a second. We're fasting to the point of starvation. We're praying until our knees are sore. We followed your example in all of these things. You fast. You spend your time in prayer. You do all these things. You live your life in devotion to God. But your cousin, Jesus, he's at parties all the time. He's talking about lilies and birds and seeds and sheep. He goes to banquets and eats, drinks, and celebrates. Hey, Pastor John, he seems to be enjoying life. Come on, y'all see what you see, right? Like he seems to be having fun." Some of the religious leaders even call him a glutton and a drunkard. Come on, somebody, right? I just think that the disciples of John are like, "Hey, can't you understand why some of us are a little confused that you think that he's the Messiah? Like, he's doing everything opposite of what we're doing." Think about the comparison game that John must have been going on in John's mind, right? He saw the two very different paths of him and his disciples and Jesus and his disciples, right? And if John wasn't careful, he could have let the pressure of comparison destroy him, just like you and I can. Right? When you compare your life and your situation or even your ministry with somebody else's, can I just tell you, that's a fast way to destruction. But John kept his heart and his focus and his life on his life call and what God had called him to do, right? And he didn't get distracted. Right? God spoke about John through the prophets, and he says this in Malachi 3, verse number 1. It says, "Behold, I sent my messengers, and he will prepare the way before me." Speaking of John, Isaiah 40, verse number 3 says, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." So instead of comparison, John focused on his assignment, his calling to call the people of Israel to repentance, making paths straight, preparing the way for the Messiah. I mean, right? You see what I'm saying this morning? Right? Like we get over here on this path and over here, and John he understood the assignment. Come on, somebody. So in the process of fulfilling his call, John was not afraid to speak truth to power. He publicly rebuked the king Herod for taking his brother's wife. God declares judgment on the king and his sister-in-law's wife and Herod's sister-in-law's wife. And he demands the king to do something about John. And so Herod puts John into prison. And at that moment, that's all that Herod does, because he's afraid that the people will riot because John's so well respected. But that's how John ends up in prison, unjustly for months, second guessing and questioning everything he's ever preached and believed about Jesus. And that's where we started this morning with this message, right? John's sending his disciples to Jesus and saying, hey, are you really the one, or do we look for another? And isn't it true, in suffering and injustice, John is getting to know the God of unmet expectations. When people find themselves in a place like John, doubting and questioning God, and we all come to that point, right? Like I never doubt. You're a liar, okay? Right? Like, I've preached sometimes. I remember one time I was at Brownsville when they were having a revival, and we lived in Mobile, Alabama at the time, and we went to Brownsville and we preached, or we didn't preach. We didn't preach, but we prayed for one of our students, and I'm like, I saw God do incredible things, and I walked out, and I will never forget. I was just like, God, I hope this is real, because the devil, right? Like, I know it in my mind, but how many know the devil will try to get you distracted and doubting, right? And all of us, sometimes we'll have things that happen in our life that take us in a totally different direction that will cause us to doubt if we're not careful. Right? And most people, when they come to that place, they do one of two things. They blame God for everything wrong in their life, or they blame people for everything that's wrong in their life. But John doesn't get bitter with God or man. He does ask some honest question that, listen, all of us are sometimes going to ask. Right? Sometimes, right, when life goes unexpectedly, we're going to ask some questions. And Jesus answers John's honest question. Probably not in the way or with the clarity that John wanted, but Jesus answered him, and here's the answer. Y'all ready? Verse number 6, and blessed is the one who's not offended by me. Jesus, hey, John, I know you're seeing this, and it's not exactly what you thought it was going to be, right? But don't lose faith when I don't come through the way that you expect me to come through, right? So John's disciples come back to report to John what's happening in prison. And in Luke chapter 7, verse number 21 through 23, it says this: in that hour, and I want you to, we got to read this a little slow here. In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind and bestowed sight. And he answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who's not offended by me. John heard the reports, and notice this. John heard the reports, and he picked up on something that I need us to pick up on this morning. His disciples said that many had been healed. Ready? Many, but not all. Come on, somebody. John saw that the same God that wasn't always meeting his expectations was not meeting everybody else's expectations the way they thought he should either. Right? It happened in Luke chapter 4. Jesus goes to Simon Peter's house, and he heals his mother-in-law, and the word of the miracle spreads, and so a line forms outside the house. And it says this in verse number 40. Now when the sun was setting, all those who were sick with various diseases brought to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. Every one of them. That's what we expect. Right? We come to church, somebody prays for us, healed. Amen. Praise God. We go on a missions trip. We pray and everybody gets saved. Right? That's what we expect. Right? We pray, God moves. End of story. Blessed and highly favored. No problems here. That's what we want. That's what we think. But listen, if you'll read on, you're going to read and you're going to meet the God of unmet expectations. Right? Because in verses 42 and 43, it says this: early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. And the crowd searched everywhere for him. And when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that's why I was sent. So there were people who didn't get to him the day before. People who had real needs, who were sick, who were blind, who were crippled. People who had real desperate needs, they begged him to stay to do more miracles. People were waiting in line, and he left to go to another village. He left to go to an isolated place. He healed many, but he didn't heal all. Again, real people with real issues all sent home. Now listen, if we're doing a miracle crusade and that's our tagline, how many know nobody's coming? Like, hey, come and we'll see. Right? You don't see a flyer like that. It's like, come and be healed. Come and be filled with the Spirit. You don't see like, come and we'll see what happens. But if we want to see the God that's revealed in Scripture, he heals many, but not all. There may have been a mother waiting in line with her baby who was sick, or a father who was holding his crippled son, or a blind man who heard what happened to other blind people who got to meet Jesus. But they all walked away without a miracle. They were not part of the many. They were part of the not all. And the only explanation that Jesus gives is, blessed are those who are not offended by me. Like John, like them, when God doesn't meet our expectations, we're filled with the same questions. Why am I in this situation? And other people seem to have their prayers answered. But listen, why are they in the many and I'm in the not all? You ever ask that question? How come everybody else is getting blessed? How come everybody else gets the promotion? How come everybody else seems to get their prayers answered and I don't? And Jesus' response is the same to us as it was to John. Blessed are those who are not offended by me. Blessed are those who trust me when they don't understand me. Blessed are those who keep following me when they meet the God of unmet expectations. Right? Listen, worship team, you guys can come. If your God has not lived up to your expectations, think about what it must have been like in Egypt when Pharaoh ordered the slaughter of newborn Hebrew male children. Remember the story? One lone survivor, Moses. He grew up to save Egypt and deliver Israel from Egypt. But all the mothers who lost their sons would never know that. Come on, somebody. Like, we get to read the whole book. But they would live their entire lives not knowing that 80 years after their tragedy, God would avenge their death by using Moses to lead the children of Israel to freedom. But they didn't know the future. All they knew was their present pain. Anybody relate? Right? I'm not in the happily ever after right now. I'm in the many but not all. I'm in the not all club. To them, God seemed distant, unconcerned, unaware. All they knew was God didn't come through the way I wanted him to and what I needed him to in my time of greatest need. That's all they knew. Yet they still worshiped a God they didn't understand. Right? And throughout time, people have always had to have seasons in their life where they lived with unanswered prayer, suffering, injustice. And we live in a culture that we demand God to give us an explanation for everything when God doesn't owe anybody an explanation for anything. Right? That God is sovereign and he can do what he wants, how he wants. And listen, the question this morning is, when God doesn't meet your expectation, the question is, are you going to be offended by him? Or are you going to trust him? Even when he doesn't explain his ways and his whys. Come on, somebody. Right? You have a loved one pass away, you're like, why? Right? And sometimes we can come up with some kind of thing that we think, but can I just, at the end of the day, only God knows? Can you still trust him? Well, I thought God was going to do it this way, and God's like, no, I'm doing it this way. Right? I tell people all the time, don't die in your why. Don't die in your why. Don't get so, right? Because some things, like he's a God of unmet expectations. Sometimes you're going to be in the many, and sometimes you're going to be in the not all, right? But are you going to trust him? Because he's going to reveal his ways and his will sometime, right? Eventually, in a degree, eventually it's all going to make sense, isn't it? Right? Paul says, we look through a glass dimly, like we don't see clearly. But on that day, we're going to see it all. And it's all going to make sense. But maybe, and nobody wants to hear this, but I'm just going to tell you because I'm trying to get us strong, mature in faith this morning, right? It may not be this side of heaven. You may not get all the answers, right? Again, people think, you know, they say all kind of things like, when I get to heaven, I'm going to do this or I'm going to say this. I think when we get to heaven, here's what's going to happen. All those questions that you've got a billion questions. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask you, I think you're just going to get to heaven. And when you get to heaven, you're going to go, oh, now I see, because right now I'm in the present pain. I didn't see, oh, I see what you did there, Jesus. Right? If you're a parent, you have done this. You've made decisions that your kids didn't understand and you didn't bother to explain it to them because they didn't have capacity to understand the explanation. Isn't that true? So over and over again, you made hard but right decisions that made them angry because the kids couldn't understand. Right? I hope. Right? That's called parenting. You know, you don't just have babies, you parent babies. Come on, somebody. And they get up and they grow up and start talking back. Come on. And you have to hold back anyway, right? But I just think if anybody wanted to explain himself to anybody, it would have been Jesus to John. If a man ever deserved an explanation, how many would agree it would have been John? If Jesus ever wanted to explain his sovereignty to anybody, I think it would have been to his cousin John. John had earned heaven's applause because he was willing to embrace hate, the hate of the world, even when he didn't understand God's total plan. Right? But even to John, Jesus remained Lord, but not fully understood. Right? God rarely makes everything exactly clear of what he's doing in our life. Right? But from an earthly perspective, when Herod called for John's head on a platter and John's beheaded, y'all know the story, it looked like John's life was a waste. Right? All the sacrifices in the desert, all the discipline, all the prayer, all the fasting, all the separation from society, it looked like John had been forsaken by God. And when you look at it from an earthly perspective, it's easy to come to that conclusion when you're in suffering, isn't it? Like, God, where are you? But when you judge from an eternal perspective, you realize that your life this morning, church, is in the hands of a God who sees the beginning and the end all at the same time. Right? He sees it all, and regardless of how it appears in the moment, he's in control. Right? He's not forgotten you. His promise to never leave you or forsake you is true no matter what it feels like or looks like right now. And when you can't track him, you've got to come to a place where we can still trust him. And we live in a culture today, it's like, well, I can't understand it. Listen, and I'm going to tell you again, I tell you this all the time. If your God fits in your brain, your God's too small. If you can figure out everything he does and how he works and how this is how God's going to operate today and this is what God's going to do, then your God is too small because, listen, he's in your brain and God, he doesn't fit in your brain. He doesn't fit in your understanding, right? He's bigger. He's more mighty. He's more powerful, right? John died before he could see Jesus as the suffering Savior or see how his calling fit into God's agenda. Jesus knew what was coming, but he never fully explained himself to John. And there's a lot about God and his ways that will remain unknown to even us. And even if he tried to, can I just say this to you? Even if he tried to explain himself to us, we wouldn't have the capacity to understand. Right? So he says, blessed are those who are not offended by me. Listen, church, if you can't trust God, trust a God you can't fully understand, this side of heaven, you'll never be able to fully trust God. Right? I just think about the joy when Jesus met John at heaven's gates and explained it all. And for the first time, John was able to understand God's whys and his ways. It's going to happen, right? But here's the deal this morning, church. We all have a choice. We can complain about a God who's revealed so little about his ways, or we can marvel and rejoice in a God who's revealed so much of his ways, right? What are you going to do when you come to face to face with a God that you don't understand? A God who hasn't lived up to your expectations. I don't know. Sometimes pastors sometimes are guilty of promising things. I remember we lived in Midland, Texas, and we were neighbors to this church. We were a church plant. We was neighbor to these churches. And I remember, I'll never forget, I worked with Teen Challenge, and the Teen Challenge guys went to this church, and the pastor got up in front of everybody and said, "Man, you just come to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus, and God will give." And he took his Rolex watch off, and he said, "And God will give you one of these." I've been a Christian since I was 16 years old, and I've never had a Rolex, right? That's not true. I got one knockoff from New York City when you get them off the side of the road. Don't ask questions. We'll tell you no lies. Come on, somebody. Right? What are you going to do when you come face to face with a God you don't understand that hasn't lived up to your expectations? Because here's the deal. The question is not, why does he not answer me, or why does he not come to rescue me? Or the question is not, why did God not allow this tragedy to happen to me or to my children or to my wife or to my husband or my family? The question is, will you follow a God you don't understand? Will you worship a God that you don't understand? Will you follow a God who doesn't live up to your expectations? Because it's easy to say amen, yes, but when it comes down, because we live in a culture that's like, no, I'm blessed and highly favored. I never get sick. I'm not like, no. When things don't go the way you think, are you going to trust him or are you going to be offended by him? And that word offended is, are you going to lose faith? Are you quit? Because I don't understand.